We had at the time, as the I heard the principal was praying, where we are going out in our churches and come together to praise the Lord, to preach, listen to the word, and of course celebrate the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now this is also a time when people of this world, they have the opportunity to enjoy themselves in many different ways. They will be going out, visiting their friends and families, not knowing actually what is this time is all about. So, brothers, let us take this opportunity and look what actually happened one day in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we go to the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and we read together, if possible, that whole chapter. Isaiah chapter 53, we will read, as we read, I hope everyone will be listening carefully and get the message, what is God saying about the suffering of his son. It reads as follows. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the hand of the living, stricken for the transgressions of many people. And they made him his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord that we are going to talk about. As I've said, this is the time when many people, each and everyone, will celebrate in his own way. But as we, the Christians, we know and understand that is the time when God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice. The Bible says God gave his beloved Son to die for our sins. We Christians understand it that way. There was a time in South Africa some years back when the government decided to, or rather the people in parliament decided to do away with these Christian holidays. We were given some papers to sign. I don't know if any one of you ever signed such a paper, but we were given this paper so that you can sign and say, no, let these holidays continue because we see them as important to us as Christians. And other faiths will say, no, we also need to have our holidays celebrated. If that does not happen, even the Christians must stop with this. So we needed to sign some petitions. According to my understanding, the reason that move was stopped, it was not because what the Christians are saying, but it was stopped because what the business community is saying. They said, no, man, there's a lot of money going on during this time. We make a lot of business. Even the government is benefiting from what we are getting. So let these holidays continue. So you understand that during this time, people are so busy. The government is so busy. Even the roads, our roads, there are many things that are happening because people are moving up and down. You can see that in the mind of the people, they don't care about what actually happened on this day. I don't think we as Christians, we also have that mind. At least we are reminded. We are being revived to remember the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us look at what the death of Jesus Christ means to us as Christians. Christ Jesus came to this dark world to save and restore us to the Lord. The death of Christ, it was a move by which God wanted us to be restored to him. Christ Jesus came to this world to take us back to God. Man has moved away from God, so God needed to take his people back. So the book of Isaiah, which very much explained the life of Christ from the beginning up to the end, is telling us about these things. I will divide them into three important things that the Lord is saying to us in this chapter. Number one, the Lord is telling us in this chapter that the sin ruins lives. The life of the people get ruined because of sin. When you look how Christ suffered how Christ was, you know, brought under this severe suffering at the hands of sinners. The Bible says this was a punishment for sin. But in the case of Christ, it was not his own sin. It was my sin and your sin. It was the sin of the human race. The Bible says, because if you read in verse 6, he will say, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. People as the whole human race, because of the fall, they have turned their back from the Lord. They have run away from God. But now, brothers and sisters, Isaiah goes on to say, we are lost because each has turned into his own way. We are not only lost because of the sin of Adam. We are also lost because of our own sins. People continue doing the wrong things before the Lord. So now, because of this, Christ suffered. What happened in the life of Christ? It was because of the sins. The Bible says the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. Through his suffering, Jesus bore our wrongdoings. Through his death, Jesus Christ bore our immorality. He bore the hatred and the evil things that we are doing. All the wrong things that we are doing, the Bible says, the Lord laid it upon him. As we see Christ being tortured, being beaten, being insulted and humiliated, that was because of our sins. Because he has done not even one single sin himself, but this was done to him. The book of Isaiah is telling us about the suffering of the Messiah, which the Jews did not understand. They did not accept that the Messiah must suffer. The Jews understood that the Messiah would come and save them from their enemies. He will be a kind of a strong man who will come and fight their battles. But the book of Isaiah is putting it very much well, so that everyone who want to accept what Isaiah is saying must know exactly what Christ is going to do. When Christ eventually came, the Bible says his own people rejected him. When you read from the book of John chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says he came to his own, but his own people did not accept him. We thank God for the book of Isaiah chapter 53, because the Jews have no excuse. The Lord explained it very well, that this is exactly what the Messiah was going to do. He was going to suffer. When you read the first verses of Isaiah 53, you will see that he was received with contempt. The Bible says there was no beauty in him. He was not attractive to those people who did not accept or expect the Messiah like him. But the Lord have warned us. When the Messiah come, he will suffer for our sins. We hear from this book that Jesus was pierced He was crushed and punished severely for the sins of all the people. Brothers and sisters, if we appreciate this, if we accept that this is what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ because of our sins, really, we will see that sin is not something to play with. Sin is not something to keep on doing after you've said you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Sin is devastating. That's what we see from this chapter. Sin is not something to play with. Christ came and saved us from sin. In his body, he carried our sins, and he suffered, and he was tortured for us. But from this chapter, brothers and sisters, we also see that God saves. We have salvation in Jesus' death. Because of the death of Christ, we are saved. We can very much say, Lord, we thank you for saving us. With all what we have done, with all the wrongs that we have committed, with even the sin with which we were born, you have saved us through Jesus Christ. If we believe, if we look at this chapter, see what's happening to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he gave his life, he became a sacrifice, so that by his death, we can be saved. Before Christ came, there were sacrifices that were given by the people, especially the Israelites. But all people of the world, even the devils, they were given sacrifices, which they still do it even today, if they are not saved. People keep on making sacrifices. But we thank God, we believe in Christ, that the sacrifice that was given by God once and for all has taken away our sins. Jesus took away our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. That's what God did through Christ, so that we cannot keep on carrying these things. They were all put laid on the life of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the punishment that he suffered brought us peace. Through Christ's death, we have peace. You know, when you have done something wrong, when you still have a conscience, the wrong thing that you have done will keep on bothering you. You will continue to have the guilt of having done that particular wrong thing. And the Bible is teaching us that as Christians, we confess. We come to the Lord and confess our sins. And as we confess our wrongdoing, we stop doing it. And we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. So, because of his punishment, what we deserved to receive, it was laid upon Christ Jesus Christ. Because of this, we obtained forgiveness of sins. We are said to be saved. The Lord God considers us holy. God says we are saints Because Christ died for us. He called us his children. We are God's children. Because Christ died for us. We are even called co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus showed the meekness and quiet submission with which he suffered a violent and unjust death. He did not complain. The Bible says, like a sheep before its shearers, Jesus was silent, did not complain. Because he knew this was done for me and you. With the circumstances of his dying, with the wicked, he was not wicked, but he died. He was counted among the criminals, because that's what we are. Because of him, we received this salvation. So, brothers and sisters, the book of Isaiah tells us very well that because of the death of Christ, we are saved. What does it mean now that we are saved? The death of Christ gives us a new life. We are regenerated because of the death of Christ. We say we are born again. Why do we say we are born again? It's because Christ died for us. He died for our sins. He was buried with our sins, but he rose again so that we may be said to be living in a new life. The death of Christ is giving us a second chance, a way of starting again. Now it depends, after having this new second chance, what do we do? Do we return to our old ways, where we will also need another Christ to come and die for us? Because the Bible says, if a person sins deliberately, can I hear amen from that?
Amen.
You know, some people will say, no, because Christ died, our sins just get washed immediately as we commit them, they get washed. That's not what the Bible is saying. We must appreciate the death of Christ, that it was terrifying, it was so painful. That was because of us. What do we do that we have been given a new chance? We thank God for the Holy Spirit that he has given us. When we are given a new life, we are also given power to can live and obey Christ's commandments. We are given the Holy Spirit so that we can bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That will make us the real children of God, not only by declaration, but now our life also will show that these people have been born again. These are the born again children of God. We thank God, brothers and sisters, for the coming of Christ. I think we should appreciate it every day of our lives, not only because during this time that we'll go to the conferences and maybe recite the 7 words of Christ on the cross and end up there, but in our daily life we must remember that Christ died for us. He bore our sins so that we can be called the children of God and that we can have a new life. Can we pray? Our Father, we come to you this morning, that, Lord, you have given us this time so that, Lord, we can sit down and look and think about what you have done for our lives. While we were lost, while we were sinners and miserable, Lord, you brought your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. We pray that in our daily life we might remember and know the grace that we have received through your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us, Lord, as we go out, praise and celebrate this time, and make us remember every day what you have done for us. We thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.